One of the activities that of the day yeshiva that many of us find challenging, maybe even more challenging than sitting for an hour or two in front of the Gemara, is actually engaging in a meaningful tefillah. Standing for God and engaging in meaningful dialogue. So we decided to dedicate this afternoon to try to focus on what tefillah is about, how can we make davening more real, more emesic, and as we approach Yom Kippur, to tap into one of those ways, that will remove any kind of evil decree that rests upon us, the Jewish people. We are very privileged this afternoon to begin this time, hours of reflection on tefillah, to begin with someone that I think it's hard to find a better person to speak about this topic. Dear friend of ours at Yeshiva, director of Camp Hass, Rav Judah Michelle.
First of all, thank you to Rav Olshin and to the yeshiva for the opportunity, not just to come today and to share Torah, but to think about davening. The Gemara does say that davening is one of those things that constantly needs chizuk. It's one of those less than a handful of things that a person needs to constantly be reviewing. Even if the Gemara didn't say it, I think that any of us are a little bit honest, at least myself, times it's a little bit like I have to say, like, well, it's hard to get things moving in terms of davening. So I'm very appreciative of the opportunity to have to sit down and think a little bit about, okay, so what exactly are we doing when it comes to davening? Especially, we only have a couple days until Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippur there's going to be a whole lot of davening going on. Shlok Kaddish says that Rosh Hashanah is a day of Rosh Hashanah. It's a day of head working. And the Shlok Kaddish teaches that Yom Kippur is a day of lay, of Avodah Shebelay, day of tefillah, of working the heart. Rosh Hashanah is a day of working the head, and Yom Kippur is a day of working the heart. So we're somewhere in between those two places. I want to just share one idea, one thought that I've been thinking about a lot in the past few weeks. That's slowly but surely starting to seep in. It's slowly but surely starting to make its way from the head to the heart. I think I'll just share it with you. It's Aseres Metshuva, and everybody is learning a little extra Mussar. We're focusing a little bit more on growth and development and self-awareness and inner working. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter began this whole movement of trying to formalize the study of the inner world. Rivaldi says Mussar means focusing on Pnimius. So it doesn't mean being berated, or necessarily building oneself up, or focusing on how small I am. The different ways that people are trying to focus on things, on an inner world. Mussar means focusing on the inner world. For Rav Salanter, began the Muslim movement when? Anybody? Just a little bit. When? When did this whole thing start? Say again. Say that out. Call that. The world was created thousands of years ago, so even a couple hundred years, not so many of it come by. It wasn't 1600s, but a little later. Okay, close. Marco! Not getting warmer? Getting warmer? It gets warmer? Warmer? What's that? No, it's our winner. It's a cone. Getting sheer. In the middle of the 19th century, different people, different historians, and depending on the books that you read, depending on who you're hearing, explain why and where. There's lots of different reasons to say maybe this is a result of the Enlightenment, maybe because of all the different changes that were taking in the outside world, and yeshiva students were being drawn. Rav Zolotar felt that it was important that Jewish young men who were B'nai Torah shouldn't think that, you know, Torah is one thing, behavior is another thing, whatever it is. But there's an accepted maisa in the house of the world, of the Tnuas HaMusar, but really what compelled the Tnuas HaLanter to begin this formalized movement of thinking about inner growth. And if these are days where we're focusing on our inner world, it's worthwhile just to share this maisa. This is the maisa that's on my mind. There's a shoemaker. Not a woodshop, not a water carrier. It was a shoemaker. Did not have to change it. Understand? He was a shoemaker. That's what he did. It's not a name. It's a real thing. It was actually a shoemaker. It wasn't just like, oh, a tailor. He was a shoemaker. See? Pashut guy. He lived in a very. They lived in the Holy Shetla, somewhere between Poland and Lithuania, depending on the generation. The border was always changing. Lived in a very limited sphere of influence. Made his shoes, fussed around with his needle, fixed the sole, you know, laces, did this, that, knocked out a little bit. And he worked in his Zoran Asiya, in a little, you know, little area at the edge of the shekel, where there was a blacksmith who had a little shop next to his, and there was a tinsmith, and there was a guy who could work fish once a week, and there was another guy who used to tan the hides. And they had this little area there where the day laborers would all kind of gather around this little space. And Sunday days, working there. Even the shul in the evening, the chamar, it was barely literate. Barely literate. You couldn't essentially wash the evening. A little hill, maybe sat there and heard shnais or something, but wasn't a person who really was able to or had the opportunity to learn to read more than. And so you know, a little bit, you know, a little bit of bread, a little piece of fish, Shabbos, simple of the simple, absolute poverty, in a very small experiment, it's not about the shepherd. One day, this shoemaker is sitting there among his head with a tinsmith, a blacksmith. One day he gets a letter. A letter comes from the big city, Warsaw. He'd never been to Warsaw. He got a letter. Couldn't read the letter, but he had somebody, a friend there, a friend in the shepherd of the community, helping him understand what it was. And, you know, that was his lucky day. Some great, great aunt passed away in Warsaw and left him a massive inheritance. Massive inheritance. More money than you know what to do, literally. You give him an extra 3 kopecks a week, you'd say, well, bread is only 1 kopeck, so what am I going to do with the other 2? He didn't know what to do with himself. He didn't even have to get to Warsaw to go to the bank to get the money. But he got by with a little help from his friends. He got to Warsaw, he comes back to the shekel a week later with more money than he'll ever know in his life how to spend. And he and his wife don't even know what to do. They don't even know the first thing to do with it. So again, they got a little bit of ace here, they got a piece of advice there, a little insight here and a little insight there. And he realizes he doesn't have to really work anymore to make his shoes. He doesn't have to go fix people's old dirty broken shoes. And what does he want to do? What does the guy want to do? See, he wants to go shoe, he wants to adopt him. Learn, he wants to grow, he wants to be in. He doesn't know how, so he's just paying like a guy from the community who was coming up from who learned to help him learn. And after doing that, he paid another guy to help him in the afternoon. And he did this for a while. And you know, now that he had a few bucks in his pocket, when he was a wealthy man in the community like that, all of a sudden he's sponsored shul shows every week, and he's paying for their loan, or he's paying for the electric bill on the shul. And anytime anybody needs anything, you know, they're coming to him, and he's giving happily because he has more than enough for himself and for everybody around him. It was unbelievable, just relatively, how much his life changed. He's just, he's happy to it. But to me, it was the whole cleanliness and simplicity. He's happy just to share and give, and he's sharing and giving. And next thing you know, there's a whole co-level that's all these people that are learning, he's paying them, and they're learning with him. And it's a thing that happens. You do it for long enough, start to get good at it. And he himself became a learned person. And he was the veer of the community. If one staircase going up, another going down in his house. And the person was just literally, he became this guy who supported the entire community, the entire city, so stood around the room. Not to be embarrassed, you know. And he literally, the surrounding Shetlach then also being supported by him. And he just learned the Daven, And they gave him a seat in the Mizrachans, the Eastern Wall, and people started asking him advice. And it was just, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. And everybody benefited. A few years go by, this whole new reality had not gone. He entered into this new world, this new identity. And it came time for Shidduch for his kids. He had a daughter, his oldest daughter, who in his mind, he never imagined, who's my daughter, who's going to want to marry my daughter, how am I going to marry her? Sure enough, the rabbi of the community, the rabbi, has a son. Maybe our kids should get married. And this, for this guy, it was the greatest validation. Now, first of all, look the other way. For many of us, it was the greatest validation we're waiting for is the woman we can marry, who's going to want to marry, is the one who's worthy of marrying. And here, apparently, it was the greatest thing in the world. His daughter's going to marry the rabbi's son. Now, in those days, they used to make the weddings on, Shabbos. They'd make the wedding right before Shabbos, and the meal was the Shabbos. I mean, the amount, he invited everyone, the entire city, the entire shetel. Not just that shetel, but the shetel, all the shetel around it. And everybody called him Lilmanolam. Everybody was depending on him, wanted to come show respect. And this rabbi, all the rabbanim, all the neighboring shetels came, and he made this blowout chasna. It was like the biggest chasna. Everybody was coming. It was the biggest one that catered. They'd never seen him like before. And everybody was invited. And this was the greatest night of his entire life. This was a dream come true. Sitting at the lake, this wonderful, coming, erlich, good God. Hashem sent the great gift, who was sharing his gift with everybody and anyone who needed. Sitting there at the dais, the candles are lit beautiful. You're sitting next to his machut and rav, and over the bottom of the him is sitting there at the table. His daughter's married, and his son in law, this beautiful tasha, and so on. Everything is exactly the way, a storybook moment for this guy. And it's beautiful, people say, L'chaim. He comes out of the bench and he's sitting there, cold, laid, everything is great. But it wasn't great for everyone. So you had a whole cheder of guys who used to work, they shared space. The tinsmith and the fishmonger and the guy who worked with the leather and the blacksmith. And it was hard for the blacksmith to swallow. He couldn't handle it. So at that moment, while everybody's sitting there in Mazda, and it's Shir Malas, and it's about the lead bench, this blacksmith steps up to the front of the table, that day, so he steps up right in the chair, and he says, hold on one second, my dear friend, everybody kind of quiets down, he says, my dear friend, the shoemaker, everybody kind of, the DJ, hold on a second, I have a question. Sure, of course. He pulls out his old kid's bag, he takes out of bed this old, ripped up, dirty pair of broken shoes, filthy, dirty, muddy shoes, and slams them down on the table right in front of the bag, Shabbos, of where this guy is at the lead bench, at his daughter's wedding, greatest moment of his life. And he says, my dear friend, the shoemaker! Cost me to have these shoes fixed like new. And when can you have them anyway? I danced a lot tonight. I need a new pair of shoes. And he turned red. This guy lost something. He just turned red. He was shocked. Everybody was like, I don't know what to say. Awkward silence, and then kind of like the uncomfortable, kind of moving around. They're waiting to see if he turned red, and then he turned white, and then he turned red again. And he said, come on, you must remember. I know you're a big, fancy beer now. I know you're a really big, you and I both remember, I think everybody here remembers, you seem just like the rest of us, getting down, hacking away, tinkering away at those shoes day and night. You must remember how to fix a pair of shoes. You are a shoemaker, aren't you? The humiliation, the degradation and the shock, the embarrassment in front of his family and friends and Clinton and the entire community, that he was exposed to who he really was. It was just so much for him that he couldn't even speak. Couldn't, his hands were shaking. He couldn't even measure. And he was so thrown by it. He was so hurt from it. Couldn't even make it to shul the next day. Couldn't get out of it. It's not allowed. He didn't go to Shabbat breakfast the next time, or the next time. And by the end of the month, he died, a heart, a broken heart. He just couldn't. He fell apart, his body imploded. He just couldn't handle it. And when Rabbi Saul Salander heard this story, Rabbi Saul Salander had heard what took place in this shekel, he said, it can't be that such a thing takes place in Jewish people. We have to work on our midos. We have to work. We have to work. We have to learn Musar. And that's the way it ends in the Tumah, the sacred Tumah Musar. That was what compelled us. Everyone thinks because of this jerk. Because of this jerk, the blacks are embarrassed to spend color. But it's not. The Talmud of Rishon Salam, the old Talmud of Rishon Salam, they said no. It wasn't because of the blacks. He was a jerk. Because of the shoemaker. Because of the shoemaker. Because how can it be that a Jew is able, that a Jew hears something, is insulted, or a Jew is embarrassed, and doesn't have enough confidence or sense of self? And this was not even embarrassing or insulting. Yeah, I made a promise to the shoemaker. And that a Jew can define themselves in such a chitzonim way, in such an outside way, that a person can look at themselves and define themselves based on their profession or their abilities, their mice and their actions, something just so outside. I'm a shoemaker, I'm a lawyer, I'm a hedge fund, I play guitar really well, I have a firm girlfriend, I do well in my SATs, I'm going to this college or that yeshiva, I'm not Keshe. That's an expression of myself, that's part of my identity. That the shoemaker wasn't able to handle it and defined himself in such an external way, in such a superficial way. I mean, at the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, the way we live life as a Jew, the Kodesh Baruch Hu instructs us. Hold God before us always and have a sense of equanimity, Shvisi Hashem and Ayyim, and don't be thrown off by people who don't want to say to you. Because we have to know who we are. Because we have to know that I am much more than the sum of my grades and my hobbies and the institutions that I'm accepted to and the brand clothing I have and how much money my father has in the bank and whether some girl she's interested in me. What type of car I drive or the graduate degree that I have or how many steamers I've made. Whether I'm a shoemaker or a blacksmith or a tinsmith or a fishmonger. There's also a lot there. If a person is able to feel so broken, such a thing that a Jew could feel so down, so hurt, so thrown off, and identify themselves in such an outside way, then we have to change, we have to turn the focus inward. The beginning of the Musar movement, which is a movement toward working on ourselves, building ourselves, understanding our potential and our ability, began from that place. And this is exactly what is talking about. And this is a seminal quote. Seventh teaching in the second part of the Hukim Orah, Ayin Shah. Says Rabbi Nachman in the Hukim Orah, this is the Kohar's Ayin. Everybody knows this part. Now you know. There's posters. You can buy a poster with these lines. You know that? The people sell the posters. Says Rabbi Nachman. All the bags that we carry, all the heaviness that we carry around us, everything that we're carrying around us, all the criticism, all the lack of confidence, and all the stuff that we're stuffing with, the same garbage from all the years. All of it. none of it compares to the heavy weight and the burden that we have on us called Abeir, it's called Avos. That's almost a kipper. Everything that we derive, everything we pray for, everything that we grow, we have to miss. There's no parts that we can get out of it. That's just going to happen. That's called judgment. But understand, the heaviest thing of all, which is the root of all of those mistakes, is how we can get ourselves in situations where we do things that we don't really want to do, we say things that we don't really mean, we eat things we know we shouldn't be, and we get involved in situations that we know we really don't want to be a part of. All of that comes because we don't realize the opportunity that we have in the world. It says it now. If somebody knows Kedushas Yisrael, what does Kedushas Yisrael mean? Translate. The holiness of the Jewish people. The nature of a Jew. If I know who I am. Kimishio de Kedushas Yisrael. May I am him with Kuzi. From where we are taken. Literally means, may I am from where? We're drawn from. The cloth from which we're cut. Or the block from which we're chipped off the old block. What block we chipped off? Ma'ayim ein melucha. We know where we're from, where our soul is drawn from, meaning where my essential self, where I'm from. We know the spiritual sense of nature, what it is to be a Jew. We know who I am, because we know who we are. For your day, she sell him a token legami me'ah. Then a person will be aware and recognize that I'm very far away from Jesus. The mistakes that I'm making, my failures, and my weaknesses, and the foul-ups, it's not really me, it's something outside. The way that Abraham describes this is understanding the difference between something called Pesem and Gilui. There's the essential self, there's the essential I, the self, which is the Pesem, who I am, and then there's a Gilui, how I express that, what I do. If we know where we're drawn from, and we say over and over and over, Ki ama mecha v'ata l'kein, we are your nation, you are our God. We are your children, you are our father. You are our king, we are your subjects. Avinu malkeinu. With that consciousness, to know where we're from, if we know where we are from, so then we'll understand, we'll have a sense of appreciation. Our definition of self will be something which is much broader, much bigger than the specific moment that I'm in. Who writes the beginning of Musa Abiyah? That if a person doesn't know this is so, if I don't know what I am, I don't know what I'm capable of, I don't know my essential soul, what it is that I have soul, that there's such a thing as a nefesh, ruach, shama, chaya, and kibbutz, aspects of the self. Ichsal, how am I going to begin the daven? Because davening is a reaction, davening is an expression, davening is a result of the recognition, my understanding of what I am, of who I am, the choices that we make, the trajectory of our existence, all the different things that we do with our time, the people that we spend time with, the places we spend time with, are all an expression of the knowledge, the da'as, of knowing who I am. Me'ayin anachnu l'kuchen, where we're drawn from. There are three important words from the Sefer HaHavim that we have to know. That are the foundation for the movement, or for the process, for the avoda of da'at. These three words express and define the reality of a Jew, who I am. Look in the mirror, these are the words I said. And it's hard, I'm thinking, the mirror downstairs is so fine. And we do it in the bathroom, but it's a bathroom, you know, the fucking thing in the bathroom. We have a mirror downstairs, and I just want to see good. Things are crazy in the house. And after a while, you know, it starts to see good. I look in the mirror and say, Chele Elkao Nima. That means, Chele, say, Chele, say. I'm not saying, say, Chele, which means, heart. Say, Elha, Mina. means that we are an expression of the divine. Chayot, we are part of Alhamina. The Ribbono Shel Olam is expressed through us. Every single person has a soul. Rosh Hashanah is the day where God blows into our nostrils, right? Creates us with His Spirit. That Spirit is what sustains. That's called the soul. That's the essential self. Elokai, Shamash Nasata B, Taori. Say, let's look in the mirror and say, before I even ask for the shul, every single morning, Leitar Brahmi Elokim. Leitar Brahmi Elokim. Hashem created you with a pure heart. Hashem created you with a pure heart. Whatever happened on YouTube is a separate thing. Whatever happened with some guy, you know, we had a phone line, lost my head, whatever, is another. Whatever happened with the bomb, the fucking line, is another. Whatever happened with one of your employee basketball and you say something, they open it, is another. The Lash Kahara, even at your house, or even this, it's another thing. That first thing, that's what happened. That's what happened. The mistakes and the mitzvahs, I've not known, I've never since, and I learned Torah, and I gave a shekel and stuff, and I said, Racha Krona, and I judged someone positively, and I said, thank you to my mother, and I held the door open. Those things happen. That's going to be part of the spreadsheet. That's part of the algorithm. I shouldn't have some spreadsheet. I don't use books anymore. Now I use spreadsheets. The devotional has an algorithm. We put all those things you just mentioned in there. You said it about the different things. It's Excel. So you put the column. And at the end, you know, it's going to be determined whether we're naughty or nice. If we have more in this column, and we'll be able to sit on the side of the side, and we'll get more time back up. And we start off the tree, and we'll get a gift, and we'll be in the book of life. Because we came out of the plus column, because that's the way you have an Orion sometimes for us. And there's only 63 pages left, so it's okay. We're almost done with the brick. Before all of that, there's a step, there's something before that, there's something fundamental, which is Chelet El Kamina. We have to know where we're coming from. What am I even doing standing up? If Ribbono Shel Olam is the Kol Yachid, God is the Kol Yachid, Ein Ono Had, Ribbono Shel Olam Kol, yeah? Haya over here, what it is and will be. So like Hashem doesn't forget Bracha Krona. That's happened in my life. Sometimes I'm benching, I end up in a Baal Tzion. Sometimes I'm in a Baal Tzion, and I end up on Kudu. Sometimes, and then sometimes they come to Shul and sleep, and they start over. So Hashem doesn't have those problems. Hashem is perfect. God is all-knowing. The Almighty, some people call God Almighty. The Ribbono Shel Olam, master of the world. His LinkedIn profile is the most impressive. The Ribbono Shel Olam. That's his name. He created all of us. Okay? So if I'm there, and I'm saying, give this person a push lane because that's the MSFMA. I would like some more money. I'd like this person to get married. Then I'm not going to think that they should get married. I'd like very much for this person to be well, this person to get a new job. And I'd like very much for there to be rain. I want the rain. I'm telling you it should rain. Like I know anything about meteorology. Like I have, I don't know. I push the button and I see what it's going to be in the next 8 hours. Oh, it's going to be hot and sunny today. Okay, challenge, so. But if I come to shul and I start telling God what to do, you understand? I have what to say. You know, the couples are long as some English. I know better than you do. Some English there. I know better than you do. You should heal all these people. You should heal all these hungry people. You should deal with this. I also know better than you do. You should deal with this government and have this person. Ma Kesher. What am I doing? No, you know. It's trying to get out. What are you talking about, right? What are you doing? What are you saying? What am I coming to die and even have this like open my mouth at all? To make recommendations, put a suggestion box in the divine system, the way the world runs. Make a face. What am I going to tell face? A little, you know, a little bit have sense of proportion. Look at that. All this praise, all this doubting, all this praise. What are you praising? Like my praise means anything you think. Hey, master of the world, well done. Not Kesher, you know, I know you did last summer, I know you were last night, Kesher, you can stand there. says or Nachman. Before anything, first things first, we have to know that I am Nachman Mekuchim. We have to know the context of this entire system, this whole production. Before anything. Because the book says, I don't know Erech Atzmo, I don't know my own self, I don't appreciate what I'm doing here in the world and why I should put me in the world. Ich is Talib, how can I even come to God? It doesn't make sense. Lev Tahor Brahmi Elkin. Lev Tahor Brahmi Elkin. First things first. Elkai Meshamach Shemsat Levi Tahor. Hashem created us. Now Hashem created us, there must be a reason. And the Gemara says that how many different steps were there in the creation of the world? How many different points of reference, how many statements were there to create the world? 7 days, so six days of doing, the seventh day of Shabbos. The Gemara says there are 10 ma'amar, 10 statements. The 10 statements from the first day, from when God said, from voracious until the complete process of man being brought into the world, there are 10 statements that Gemara says. 10 ma'amar that created the world, yes? You know it? 10 statements. So Sassanis explains that these 10 statements are what fuel 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. And each day of Yasser Simei Shuva, each day of these 10 days from Rosh Hashanah, from the head, to Yom Kippur, are expressed through a different one of these statements. From Bereishis, which is the first day of Rosh Hashanah, say Yom Harasvola, right? This is the beginning, until Yom Kippur. The 10th statement of which the Shmarim created the world, the Gemara says, Chazal tell us, is the statement of God said, Na'aseh Adam, let us make man. Let us make man. Who was the Kodesh Baruch Hu talking in the Torah? Let us make man. Who was that conversation between? Who was there? Huh? No, Rashi says, the person Rashi says, he's talking to his chevra, he's talking to the Pamal Yishamah, he's talking to the board of directors. There's a group of guys, Askan there. There's a group of angels, or divine beings. They're hanging around there in the coffee room. And the Baruch Shalom says, no, not so, let us make man. Okay? Theologically, philosophically, you think about it a little bit, it's strange. But okay, that's the first thing, Rashi, whether you take that literally or not, that's one. What's the second understanding that Rashi shares in the Rishonim brain? Who is the Kodesh Baruch Hu talking to? Let us make man. Na'aseh Adam, Hashem is speaking to man himself. HaKadosh Baruch was engaging Adam, saying, let us together make man. In other words, our relationship is parent-child. A parent loves their child unconditionally, wants their well-being unconditionally. And if there's emotional and psychological health and well-being, and it's balanced, it's normative, it's appropriate, no matter what that child does, it doesn't change the fact that the parent just wants them to be well, and just wants them to be happy. And wants to be taken care of, and loves them, and is concerned for them unconditionally, and wants their closeness. Beyond it is a level of relationship, an expression of relationship we have with Hashem Azar, and not just an Elohim, but also a king, as a king, as a subject, meaning there's Malkeinu. Now, if Hashem is Malkeinu, that means, maybe it's my father is a king, that means that I am a prince, that means there's nobility. And someone who comes from nobility, it's inborn. It's not that I earned. I didn't get it because I had some good internship. I made coffee for a rich guy during the summer and I got a good job. But because I'm well on SATs. Nobility is it's inborn. It's inherited. So if Avinu is Avinu and Malkeinu is Malkeinu, that means that, okay, my father has unconditional want and love for me. And Malkeinu means that I'm nobility. It means I have a shyness for that king. It means that the palace is my place. And a prince, someone who comes from a royal family, dresses differently, and has different terms of engagement. There's a different way in the world. There's different models, different thing going on for that person. They belong in a different set. They're in a different state. They're in a different status. But in the creation of mankind, the Ribbono Shel Olam says to mankind,
let us together make man. Let us do this together. In other words, you and I are going to be partners in it. It changes. It's not just parent-child. It's not just Miller and Ben Miller. But now there's a partnership. So if there's a partnership, that means if you're a business leader, you're a partner. So that means you have a say. You have a vested say in what goes on. So when I come to Donovan, and I'm asking for this, and I'm asking for that, I'm saying, please this, and please that, we need to have context to understand that my say matters. The most difficult part for me about me is believing that there's something there that's interested in hearing what I've said. And not just Shabbos and Chedmar, but like time in between. I go up to Shabbos every day and go up to Shabbos homewards. Besides Shabbos and Chedmar, which is a phone, which is a card that you buy in the store that has it printed on it, I give to myself also a book and have a conversation. You love someone and you have a relationship with them and you spend time with them. So when I go up to the store every day, I walk down my block, walk down the next there, and sometimes I'm sitting there half an hour, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour. And he goes, "Come on, am I crazy? Who am I talking to? Is there someone that young? Are you there, God? It's me, 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 in order to come to davening in that place, in that way. Me'ani anachnu l'kuzim. To know that whatever I do in my day, and whatever I involve in profession, here personally, here in my learning, the stuff I'm doing, whatever choice I make on Thursday night, wherever I'm in Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos, whatever it is, at the end of it all, even if I have this blacksmith, we all have this blacksmith in the back of our minds, saying, "You really, you're going to sit by the dais over here and enjoy this moment of mobility, this elevated moment? You're nobody. You're just a shoemaker. I know what you did last night. I know what was going on for you 5 minutes ago, where your head was at while your body was ready to talk to you, while you were reviewing the post. I know what you're doing. What are you talking about? Really? You're going to come out of that moment. You're going to come to shul, you put on a suit, you think that like now it's change. We all have that blacksmith in the back of our mind saying to us, come on, you're just a no, you're just a nothing. Which is why we have to take a step back and know where we're from. Where we're from now. HaKadosh Baruch Hu depends on us in this world as his representatives, as his partners. Nasa'ala, let us together make man. That's what Yom Kippur is. Yom Kippur is a day of Avodah Shebelev. Because it's on Yom Kippur that we're able to really express who we are. Because this is the day where we became Hashem's partners. So if you were to get, I mean, you work in an internship this summer, maybe the worst of you, you make coffee for some wealthy person. And not the partner in that law firm, or not the person who was the attending physician or the department or whatever, not that. But his boss's boss, Warren Buffett, said, "Here's about this guy. Clocks around his computer a little bit. Some senior, ABC or some guy in DRS. Some kid is sitting in fridge. He's on the computer club. Comes up with something. Warren Buffett hears about it and says, 'This is a kid I want to invest in.' And finds that gets in touch with him and says, 'I want to put down $500 million of your idea.' That next day, kid walking to school. Is he walking in the same way he did the day before? Sure enough. Standing up, standing on the floor. I mean, this powerful person, this wealthy person, this great person is interested in me. He wants my input. He believes in what I have to say. He wants me to be his partner, his best friend. If we were to focus on, meditate, think about, be aware of, Leifar Rav Elohim, Hashem created me right, pure, clean. Elokai, Neshama Shemasata Li Tahori. The soul of which I'm imbued is perfect and whole and pure. And that's who I am. And that creator, and that sustainer, that Ribono Shel Olam, is interested in my being. If I'm aware of I am, where I'm with my I am not coming from, where I'm taking from, then our entire injury of doubting is that, okay, this summer was a difficult summer. This summer, it was a difficult summer for Jewish people. Yeah? It was a difficult summer.
No matter how good it went, on a personal level, I don't know the hard side. There's a difference. One of the voices of clarity, guidance there. This summer was a Jew named Bill Zinger. He's a Rosh Hashiva of Makor Chaim. Is that familiar? That speech of Makor Chaim? You heard of that? It's a high school, Yeshiva High School, in Rosh Hashiva, where two of the boys were learning when they were taken. And it became a model, a symbol, in Israel and all over the world, for this incredible suffering and yearning and pain and focus that everyone was thinking about for the first couple of weeks of the summer. Every single Jew in the world was thinking about this. Every person was focused on what was going on. And the parents became more outspoken and were in the media and became spokespeople. But one of the people in Israel, at least, there were people interested in hearing what they said, was Rosh Hashiva. And he said, he described it, he wasn't sure what to do. He had an entire yeshiva, two of their friends were missing. And there was tremendous pain and worry and preoccupation. And as soon as Apollo Frankel's mother, Frankel said, like, this is not a personal thing that we're going through, but this is something that's taking place, you know, at the seaboard level, on a national level. So everybody kind of followed suit. The other one, my father's parents, said this is not just about us, but it's something that we'll all be still sharing together. So then people kind of felt, people started singing that song. So it was even described how, one day, yeshiva was this little, this grassy knoll in which she's going on, which was in a little corner of known world over here. The next day, this 500 reporters, the photographers, all of us want to come and see what's going on in yeshiva. They didn't know if they should let them in, but once the parents already said that this is something which is not just about us, but it's all on us all together, they left the photographers and reporters in. And it was not simple. Local agents, but can't even imagine such a thing. Young men going through such a traumatic experience. And if you saw the pictures, you won't forget, of the davening, the crying, the hill that was going on. From a place of absolute desperation and yearning. And then they would sing. Anybody who was in the nasty summer, the same thing. So when I got this, I don't know what to do right now. And we said, oh, and then we spoke a little, and we cried a little, and we sang a little bit of Achayim, and we tell them a little more, and we said, Machai, what do we know what to do? So they sang Achayim, go base itself. And then they said more to them, screaming, the shallow, shouting. And I'm crying. And then sang again. And then someone started singing and a few guys started back and forth. And then they started singing ancient Yiddish And for you, the entire Beis Medrash was dancing. Ancient Yiddish Olam Klal, no such thing as giving up hope. There's no such thing as despair. And they were crying, and they were shouting, and they were bobbing, and they were singing, and they were dancing, and it was all happening at the same time. And afterwards, one of these photographers comes over to Rav Zinger and says, are you crazy? What on earth is going on here? What is happening? Then he died crying out and saying to him, okay, let me make sense. What on earth is going on over here with dancing, singing? The whole thing is nuts. You see, they're dancing and they're dancing, they're clapping and they're dancing, and they're into it. And they say, I'm so high again. And this reporter, photographer, says to Zinger, what on earth is going on for you? Have you lost your minds? Listen carefully. Here's what Zinger said. I understand how you could be seeing what's happening here right now. And seeing this snapshot of a moment, thinking that this whole thing is just dysfunctional, doesn't make sense. Now, when I have a new day, when I can handle what's going on. But here's the understanding. That when a boy comes to learn Torah, every single one of us, when he comes in the morning and begins his day with God, we start our day, our essential part of God, and we say every single day, every time today, at least, Elokeinu, Elokeinu, I will say it. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. We say it. We're talking about something that happened 4,000 years ago. We're talking about our great, 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 great elder, great grandparents in our lives. We have a brain conscious of that. We're all progressive. Generations of that. We're talking about massive erasures in our lives. We're talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt, and Chris Johnson, Oz, Yosher, Moshe, a sin that took place thousands of years ago. And in Birkas HaTorah, Vaniyah HaNachem, and we, what's next? Mitzitzayinu, and our children. Mitzitzayinu, and our children's children. Because they know so far, it's like even another couple of Mitzitzayinus in there. If my children should be learning Torah Lashma. And we're talking about the rebuilt Yerushalayim. And we're talking about the coming of Mashiach. We're talking about the gathering of the exiles. We're talking about Kibbutz Golios. This is Zinger, you have to understand. You're seeing one specific moment. But a Jew is connected, is living in a world of context. Hashem, the name Yud-Keh, and Bar-Keh, Hashem, the old great man put it back to that. God of us at that Zimbabwe song and made it into people say, good and hey and love and hey. Haya, Hove, Vihia. More consciousness that Haya, Hove, Vihia was, is, and will be eternity. That's what a Yid is. That's what it means to be a Chayot or a Chavimah. That's what it means to be a Jew. To be a Jew means that God is called through me. Yiriyahu says, Kara Allah Hashem Hashem. The name of God is called through us. There's partners. So it's not that I'm right here, right now only. But I'm talking about Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. I'm talking about Oz Yosher. And Yetzias Mitzrayim. And Masa Bereishis. And what's going to be at the end of the days. And especially now, during Snichas, half away from Snichas. All things may be Jewish history lesson. Whoever, man, the one who answered Avraham Avinu with their kid, the one who answered Yonah and the fish, the one who answered Ezra and Chaim Yehuda, the one who answered the fiery furnace. You go through the list of names, Mordechai and Esther, I know that. The one who answered Chizkiyahu and Yosef. What are we doing talking about all these things that took place thousands and thousands of years ago? Again, 1600s, 1800s, no, what's a couple hundred years? We're talking about 5,775 years of creation every day. And we're talking about our great-great-grandchildren already. United Nations, anyone? United Nations. Anybody know anything about the United Nations? Anybody know anything about the United Nations? We were already talking about how all of those nations weren't even there when Netanyahu spoke yesterday. That all the nations that condemn us day and night are going to become Yerushalayim in the Abbas and our base of Iqbal, with our Muslims. He basically feeling the Kabbalah Chalas, that because we say that in Sikhas every day. What are we doing? We're creating context. We're creating context to understand where we are coming from, what we are, who we are. We are not connected. We're connected to something eternal. We're connected to something much bigger than the here and now. In the early 80s, Lubav Sharevi sent out a couple of people to the Caribbean. It's not a bad ship. It was a short ship, but it's not a bad ship. You know? You couldn't have something He sent them on a mission to the order to teach Jews a little bit for a couple weeks in the Caribbean. And he got to one of these far out islands, and he got way out of the edge, called Curacao. And a couple of Arsi came from Crown Heights to teach Torah. And some Jews came there and got together in shul. You know, it's not every day that a rabbi comes to visit. And one of the people in the shul, I went over and met afterwards. A couple of Arsi was a big, imposing man. Jimmy Clear is a huge person. Chris came over and he said, you know, I can't believe that you're here. I moved here a few years ago, and it was really my parents were really distraught that I was going to the Caribbean. They said, what are you doing? Going to the Caribbean, Curacao, what's going to be there? But my mom told me that when I ever needed anything, I was up in the gym, I should know that there's a Lubavitcher Rebbe in Brooklyn, I could write a letter, and he'll respond and he'll help me. And I've been having trouble recently, I'm thinking, what am I doing? I was thinking of reaching out, but I didn't know what to do. I have to do it here, you show up, and I'm like, can I give you a letter that brings the Rebbe from me? So the Rebbe says, sure, I'm very happy. I went back to the Rebbe, wow. And the Rebbe took responsibility for the entire world. He took responsibility for the role, not just that, he took responsibility for the role of the world. He understood his role as a partner, mission of creation. He had a job, he was preparing the world. So he sent him to Shkip to cure himself. So he comes back a few weeks later to Brooklyn with a letter from the Caribbean, from this evening. He gives him a voucher. The Rebbe looks at his desk. And I was looking at him, he starts shaking his head no. And he takes up his head and he starts making notes. And the Rebbe asked me, look, and I said, well, no, Rebbe, okay? The Rebbe showed him. Cross out the whole bottom part of the letter. This Jew wrote a letter explaining what his trouble was and asked for a bracha, and asked for a piece of advice. And there was a sign from a small Jew in Curacao, Peru. And the Rebbe made a big text over it and said, no, there's no such thing as a small Jew. There's no such thing as a small Jew. A Jew is called a cheder of the kabbalah. We're expressing, we're an expression of the divine. We're a partner of Hashem, we're a ben melech. Chavit of the Shiver itself. Beloved is mankind who's created in the image of God. Chavit Yisrael, the Jewish people, is an extra level because they're called ban melechim, Hashem's children. No building, know where you came from. Know the cloth from which we're cut. I'm nobody. Whether you're a shoemaker or a hedge fund manager or a doctor, you can't see them, or you can't read 2 lines in Rashi. Elkai Shamash Masadi Tahori. That's the beginning, middle, and end of the story. Lay Tahor Brahmi Elokim. Nase Adam. Hashem speaks to me every day and says, let's do this together. Otherwise, what the heck are you talking about? Give me money, give me her, get her to marry, let me heal. Who are you going to tell me more show what to do? You know I am? First of all, he's my father. I have access. Second of all, he's the king and I'm a prince. I'm his mamash, the world, I'm his representative here. And we're partners, and he wants to hear what I have to say. And if I don't believe in myself, and I don't recognize that about who I am, then not catch it all, the obvious thing is a joke. And the whole thing is, of course it's hard. Because we're starting with the symptoms, and of course we're going to the root. The root is that we need context. Like Virginia explained, if you just focus on this one moment, it does look like it's a simple God. If you take a step back and understand that every day it's okay, 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 I have grandparents. Zchus Olos doesn't mean that my grandfather was rich and gave money to the yeshiva, so I'm going to be able to gain it. That's Zchus Olos on Ahab, come to our giver, Avram Yitzchakiyako. Okay, you're a loser, but your Zayu's rich. And okay, so you know, we'll get this kid's cash out. That's what it means. Chazal, as Maral says, comes from the word Zah, purity. We're reminding ourselves that we come from a pure source. We're reminding ourselves that we come from something. Or a Buchol wanted to start this beginner's meeting in the city. So he wanted to say, there isn't no Buchol about Shredder. See, he gets my job. So a Buchol wanted to start first, like, you know, beginner's meeting for Jews who don't know what it is to dominate. He went to the Rebbe and said, "I want to give a start meeting and explain the service for Jews without a background to be able to daven. So I want your bracha." And he's ready for the Rebbe to give a good view. Yeah, yeah, that's the Rebbe one. No, the Rebbe said no. No, it's Jews who don't know about Shabbos. They don't know alphabets. They don't know how to wear sigars. They don't know how to daven. They don't know about. They want to come to shul. We're going to have a service and explain the service because they don't have a background." And the Rebbe said, no. People were kind of like wondering, I thought this was going to be a breeze. I mean, this is my bank, Rebbe, after you, Jimmy, whatever. And the Rebbe said, don't ever say that a Jew doesn't have background. He has the same background as you, from Avram, and from Yitzchak, and from Yaakov. He might not have an education. He might not know what to do. But a background he has. A ben melech he is. That he's cut from a divine cloth, for sure. That is the fault setting. The fault setting. When the printer gets a mess and when the virus hits the computer, it goes bonkers. And everything gets crazy in the computer, you have to like reset it, go back to factory default. The factory default of the yid is chelok el kamim al. It's leading to the heart of the elokim. And if we can hit that, we can hit that. If we recognize our background, we know where we're leading. Otherwise, says, how are we supposed to know? How are we supposed to think about that? There's no such thing as a small Jew. And there's no such thing as a Jew Hashem is not interested in hearing. We all have them, we're all part of the story. We're all part of the story. And that story is what is expressed in the Sifra. And it's expressed in Sifra's more than most times of the year, because we're talking about this. We give ourselves a context.
to put ourselves in the middle of this plot. We play an indispensable role in the narrative of the Ribono Shel Olam story in the world. Which is why we're talking about all these different things that happened then and that would be happening then. We're just going to look at this photographer and say, the same bus stop the boys were taken from is the bus stop that Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov walked past. That's where they were. That's their Abbas. Roughly made us right down the block. This is not a new thing for us to be here in this world. We have an old story. Hala Hoga V'iyah. And we are part of that eternal narrative. You know, Kippur is a day where we assert that. It's the headquarters of asserting that. And that's why it's called the day of Avodah Shebaleh, working with the heart. And that's what I'm doing this. I'll leave you with this one book. Did you ever see a person in the subway or in the street hitting themselves? Did you ever see it? It's like a pillow mark. Did you ever see a person? Imagine you saw a person in the street doing this. What would you do? Would you go near them? Well, so after you take a picture of them and post it on Instagram, what would you do? Would you want to be close to that person, or would you say this is not a balance for helping one person? I should probably say far away, because it might be something crazy. It might be something really crazy. No? I looked around. It happens sometimes when I'm about, and I look around and space in, space out. Look around and about, if I could suggest that for me. You can see this. Or maybe it's fervent. I remember my first sleepless month of Shabbos in Shanal, in Shabbat, and I remember. I saw it in the young man told him insulted him in the line. This guy was like 90 year in sheep. And he wore sandals and he walked around the bristle day. And he literally walked around the whole day like in his learning. And the first night, I remember the first Hashanah that I remember, I was staying with a couple friends, it was late. And I hear this. And I looked over and there's, I don't know, what did this guy do? What could he have done? Like what? You know what I'm saying? I'm like sitting there saying, but if you look around, you see, okay. I don't know if it's in the DSM, but I would assume that, I don't know, maybe it's not in psychology that they did this to us, but it doesn't seem like such a healthy thing to be focused on such a way, no? You're a self-aware man. Is that like a normal thing? If it's something wrong, I can always, you know, to pick up something from the store and forget it. She says, oh, you know. You okay? No, I answer, no. You're not okay. There's something wrong with you. You need to be helped. And you see someone in medication and therapy, be okay from that. Therapy. But there's such a disorder, a person harming themselves. This whole idea that I'm clocking, hitting myself, that I did something wrong. I don't know. I did something better. Maybe I'm trying to make myself aware, I'm trying to, it's a cue, it's an external cue to wake myself up. I don't know. The label later says that when I'm focusing on these mistakes that I made, that I'm responsible for, and I'm going to have to answer for the screw-ups, I'm going to have to answer. I have to remind myself. After all these lists of al-khaits, especially if you're using a matzah that has footnotes or translation, you think somebody's like, okay, that's not me, I'm not that good. And then you read a commentary on the bottom, and go, oh, you think you're not a pervert, go, oh, yes, you are. And not only are you going to sing about it, too. I'm a pervert. I don't suspect my family. I overhate. I'm a pervert. Back and you're done, you're close, forget about it. They find everywhere they catch up, every single one of these things, that you can't get away for a second. And we're doing this all the time, not Kesher. You can go through these things, be rolling around in the mud, and be so broken from it, say, so what the hell is the devotion on with the air people? What do I have to bring to the table? So what's my like, you can get through one round of outfits, let alone however many times you're through them. Subconsciously. Go where I'm interested. I'm a shoemaker. Not only am I a shoemaker, I'm a shoemaker. I don't belong here. This isn't for me. Who wants to hear? The devotion certainly doesn't want to hear from me. Why would anybody want to hear from me? Why would anybody want to be around me? I'm such a low one. Why would I want to be around myself? I'm so broken. So Leila later says that we touch our hearts. That we kind of, it's like, imagine like CPR. trying to like reawaken, trying to reawaken the Yiddish heart, the way power of all the way. That's true, our faith, it's true. It's true, I was disrespectful, I didn't show proper respect to my common. And it's true, I spoke Lashon Hara, and it's true, I didn't make brachas in the way I should have. It's true, I wasn't careful with what I saw. And it's true, I wasn't appropriate with my relationships. But in the end, you're my father, in the end, you want me, in the end, I'm your partner, in the end, you want this to be a soto, and you need me in the world, and I need Shabbat, I'm worth something. Because Lady Thor, we're all little kids, it's the gift of resuscitating ourselves. And the shofar is the breath of life, and CPR can belong to us, and give us back our ruach. And our faith, a little bit trying to reawaken our heart, fill up that earth by the heart that engages to make us feel, not to be broken, not to fall, and not to roll in the mud, and not to be stuck in a place of being broken, or nobody, or nothing. That's the black sheep getting his way. But saying it's true, I made a lot of mistakes, it's true, I fell short a lot of my goals. But I've been mixing up with my grandparents, and I want, says Amos, says Amos, says Amos, I want my children to be one day forever. I want to be a bigger person. I want to be more of who I am. I want to be closer to you. That's really me. To know me, I am after the Kuzer. Without that, Yom Kippur is a disaster. It's a disaster. No matter how many good of you sin, it's a disaster. Disaster. And slichos, finished, toast from slichos. Who wants the slichos? But if we have context, if we take a step back, and we understand our role in this, and the process of which we're going through. And as the Kalmata says, to know what a way you live, what a Yiddish heart is, to know why I'm constantly trying to engage that, wake up, that to wake up the real me, so then it's something that should be positive. It's something that you can actually get to enjoy, maybe something that one looks forward to. And that's what the Chazal says, the Kippur is about you all in the Israel, it's a great day. But that's the self-awareness in this context. That's if there's an understanding and a recognition of who we are and what we're going to want to do. We do this by heart. The commander has said, to understand the way, you know, the makeup of a word is from its letters. Lay is spelled Lamed Beis. Lamed is spelled with letter 2. Lamed is made up of 3 letters. Lamed, Mem, Tav. Lamed. And Beis is Beis, Bet, Yud, Tav. Lamed, Mem, Tav. Beis is Tav. It's called the Mimuli. Kamaran says in the Gematria, the Amish Kulam Tzadik, the nation is completely righteous. And I'm in Kippur, when it's a day where Kulat Yafu Ayas and Yom Yadav, a day where there's such cleanliness and beauty, and everything is in plural tense, and everything is completely, we're in this together with our Chaver, with our Rebbe, with our friends, with our people sitting next to us, people all over the world. We're in this together with Hashem. We're reminding ourselves by touching our heart over and over throughout the day. And I'm in school and today, and I'm part of that nation too. There's an Kudus Tzadik inside of me too. And that I'm that, cut from that righteous cloth, Avraham and Yaakov, and all that my name was ever saying, and I'm part of this incredible story, and Hashem wants me, and Hashem's interested, because I play an indispensable part in the indispensable role of this narrative called Yishka, called life. Hashem, help us that we remember this, that we're aware of this, that we know this, for Shana is the day where we establish this recognition. We remember Hashem and recognize God as our Father, our King. Therefore, we are His children and his princes and have an unconditional relationship with that Melech, so we can go into Yom Kippur with a sense of partnership, being charged with having to get things straight in the relationship and making things right, so we can go into a year and continue with this amazing opportunity of growing together and learning together. Thank you for the opportunity to share and to share with you.
Thank you very much to Judah. Now we're going to have a few minutes break because there's cakes and drinks upstairs. Before you do that, just 1 second. Just you should know where you're going. If you're not sure what shir you're going into, the Shmuel Noller has a list in the back. It's also posted on the phone. Wait. Just so you know, if you're in Rabbi Apple shir, it's going to take place in the computer room. If you're in Rabbi Goldman shir, it's going to take place in Rabbi Blessing shir room. Rabbi Stanley is in Rabbi Reichman shir room. Reverend Blavatsky is in my shoe. Reverend Ibrahim is in